And we're holding on Pei Umud Bey's second line from the bottom. We talked in the Mishnah about Tumas Satahoim, where you have a Tumas Mess, specifically we said it applies to, good morning, Ellie. We talked about there's a Tumas Satahoim, where there's a Tuma that nobody ever knew existed until now, until it was discovered. We're mentioning in the Gemara over here that you have a similar kind of thing, you have potentially a similar kind of thing with other Tumas besides Tumas Mess. For example, we said Tumas Sheretz, you could have, for example, that there's a pile of dirt, a person sticks his hand into there and discovers afterwards that there was a Sheretz in there. We were in the middle of talking about Tumas Satahoim of Ziva, which would mean, in other words, that at least the way that Rashi's understanding it over here, would mean that it comes the end of the 7 days, for example, of a Zav, the seven clean days that he has to count, and we don't know, we have no way of knowing in advance whether later on that day he's going to end up having another flow of Ziva, which therefore is going to undo his whole count, and he has to start all over again. So that's also sort of considered Tumas Satahoim in the sense that I guess the idea is like the Ziva is already there in his body. It just, we don't know that it's there yet, and we don't know that it's going to come out before Shkia, but then it does, and he ends up becoming Tomei. So the last thing we were talking about was like this. We started with the question Rami Bar Choma had asked when we said, now we said in the Mishnah that Tumas Satahoim is a halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, that it's okay for a nozer or for somebody who makes a Pesach if we find out after the korban was brought. And we find out that he was Tomei from a kever atahoim, we discovered this kever afterwards, then he doesn't have to bring his korban again. In the case of the korban Pesach, he's yotze and doesn't have to bring a Pesach sheni. In the case of the nazir, we don't say that he has to restart his nazirus and bring new korbanos. Now, so Rami Bar Choma asks the question, does that apply only to the owner of the korban, or does the same thing apply if the kohen who was sprinkling the blood of the korban, if he was Tomei with Tumas atahoim? So in that connection, we brought a braisa of Reb Chiya that says that we say Tumas Satahoim only for a mess. So a mess as opposed to what? So first we tried to figure out, we said like this, maybe it's coming to exclude Tumas Sheretz, in which case it would have to be talking about Pesach, because by a Nazir, a Sheretz doesn't make a difference. But even by the Pesach, we have an opinion that you are, which we've discussed before, and we're going to have later on Daf Tzadik Aleph, that you are able to shecht the Korban Pesach for somebody who's Tumas Sheretz, and he'll be Yotze with it. So it can't be talking about a Sheretz at all, because by Nazir wouldn't be relevant, and by a Korban Pesach, it may or may not be relevant, depending on the different opinions. So it can't be talking about the owner. L'chura, it must be talking about the Kohen, and in that case, then that would show that, yes, we're saying that Tumas Satahoim of a mess is okay by a Kohen, just Tumas Satahoim of a Sheretz is not, because the Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim only applies to Tumas Mess. But then the last thing we said was that Rabbi Yosef had said that no, maybe when we're saying that it excludes some other kind of tumah, maybe it means it as opposed to Tumas Satahoim of Ziva. So in this case, in other words, let's say the Zav was on his seventh day of counting. If all goes well, he's going to Tovel. If all goes well, if he has no more Ziva that day, then that's it. That night he has head of Shemesh. We're going to see soon in the Gemara and in Rashi. If he's a three times Zav, he still has to bring Korbanos as well the next day. But if he's a two times Zav, all he has to do is he has the seven clean days and then he Tovels and has head of Shemesh. And that's that. So now what happens is, so now let's say his seventh day was Erev Pesach. So what we say is, if we shecht the Korban Pesach on his behalf, it's also like Tumas Satahoim, because there's always a suffix whether he might again have a flow of Ziva later in the day. And then that's going to undo his whole count and he's going to be Tomei and not able to eat the Korban Pesach. So what Rabbi Yosef is saying is the Braisa maybe is implying just that that wouldn't work. Not necessarily is the Braisa saying anything about the Koyanim one way or the other. It's saying even within the owner, you have those Tumas Satahoim of Mess, which it's okay. If he finds out only after the fact that he was Tomei with Tumas Satahoim, then it's kosher. But on the other hand, that wouldn't be the case with Ziva. If we shechted the Korban Pesach and sprinkled the blood, and later in the day, it turned out that he had a flow of Ziva, no good. Then he's going to have to bring a Pesach Sheni. So now comes the question that you want to ask for Tumas Satahoim de Ziva Loi Meratza. So you're telling me that in that case, the Korban wouldn't be acceptable and he's not Yotze and he's going to have to bring Pesach Sheni? V'hatanya, we learn in a braisa. Rabbi Yosi omer, shemeres yoim k'neged yoim. Shemeres yoim k'neged yoim, we've had many times before. We had a lot in Masech the Nidah. We had her in Brachos. Anyway, she has had a flow of blood not during the time of Nidah, so during the 11 days after the Nidah cycle. When if she has a flow of blood for one day or for 2 days in a row, then she's a shemeres yom k'neged yom. She needs one full tahor day in order, and then at the end of it she tovels and she's tahor. So suppose that she had a flow on Yud Gimel Nissen. So now she needs a yom tahor on Yud Dalad Nissen. So she shechtu v'zorku aleha b'sheni shala. So suppose they shechted and sprinkled the blood of the Korban Pesach on the second day. Now, after all, again, the second day is like the suffix of the zav. If she ends up having another flow of blood that day, then she's still tamei. Because now you have yesterday your Gimel Nissen and today your Dalad Nissen. In fact, Rashi goes on and says that if she also has a flow on the next day, Tesvav Nissen, the first day Pesach, then she's going to be a Zavah Gdoila, then she's going to need 7 clean days, in fact. But either way, the point is that not necessarily is she guaranteed to be Tahor by the end of your Dalad Nissen. So if they shechted and sprinkled the blood of the Korban Pesach for her on the Yom HaTohar of hers, which happened to be Erev Pesach, v'achakach rosa, we're at the top of Pei Aleph Amud Aleph now. V'achakach rosa, and then she had another flow later that day, eino ichelus. Then she could not eat from the Korban Pesach because, after all, she needs to have another Yom Tahor tomorrow, Tesvav Nissen. Uptura milasas Pesach Sheni. However, she is potter from making Pesach Sheni. Bepashtus. Now, why should she be potter from making Pesach Sheni? Bepashtus, because when the Korban was shechted and when the blood was sprinkled, then at that point it was still Tumas HaTohim. It was still a suffix. Whether later on it's going to turn out that she has a flow of Ziva, and retroactively it turns out that this wasn't a clean day. And then, so my timer, now why would that work? Lav mishum de menatza tzitz. L'chora, the reason is because the tzitz helps, for just like we said in the Mishnah. Now, we said usually in the Mishnah, the tzitz doesn't help when the person is tameh. We said in the Mishnah that primarily the tzitz is only meant to work when the blood of the korban is tameh. Or maybe we had a few days ago in the Gemara possibilities about when the imurim or the meat is tameh, that it makes it considered as though they're tahor to the extent that the korban will be kosher. But not as far as Tumas HaGuf. But we said the same halacha, but we said there's a halacha l'moshe Sinai that it does work by Tumas HaGuf if it was Tumas HaTohim. So b'pashtus, the idea is here it's Tumas HaTohim. We didn't know at the time when the korban was brought that she is later on in the day going to have another flow, and then it comes out this wasn't her clean day and she needs another clean day tomorrow. Therefore, we're saying apparently what it is the tzitz helps. So it turns out there. So we see therefore that tumas hatahoim by a zava, and the same thing by a zav, that it can work. The answer is Amri. They said no. The yeshiva light said no. That's not why. The reason is mishum dekasavar Rabbi Yosi mikanu lahabahi matama. No, the reason why you could say is. And now, by the way, Tosfos points out, I mean, the Gemara could have said, okay, the reason why she's potter from making Pesach Sheni is because anyway, women are not chayev to make Pesach Sheni if they didn't make Pesach Rishon. However, later on, when we deal with that sugya about whether women are chayev or not, we're going to have Rabbi Yosi himself holds that women are obligated to bring Pesach Sheni if they have to. So that won't work as an answer over here. So Amri, but they gave a different answer. Loi, Mishum Tukasavar, Rabbi Yosi, Mikanu La'abahi Matama. Rabbi Yosi is going to hold like this. Before we were saying that this Shemeres Yom K'neged Yom, she had one Tameh day, now we're saying she needs a Tahor day, after it. Now, the way we were looking at it until now is, so let's say, she had her flow on Yud Gimel Nissen, she's having her Tahor day on Yud Dalad Nissen. Now, if everything goes well, then she goes until Shkia and nothing happens, then earlier that day she dipped in the mikveh. Now she has head of Shemesh by Tzeisek Kachavim, and she's Tahor and she's able to eat the Korban Pesach. Up until now, we were assuming that if she does have a flow later on in the day on Yud Dalad Nissen, then it combines together with the previous one, and what actually happens is it comes out Lamafreya, it comes out all along she was really Tomei. because in order to be tahor, she needs one full day, which is tahor, and here she doesn't have it because she had a flow of blood in the middle. So therefore, it comes out that retroactively she wasn't tahor. But now we're going to say in the Gemara that not necessarily. We could say according to Rabbi Yossi, we would say that mikta sayem kekoloi, once she started counting the clean day, then it counts as a clean day. Now, if she has another flow later that day, then it's counted as a new thing. Sure, she's going to need a yom tahor to correspond to that. But on the other hand, what that gains for us is if we say that Rabbi Yossi holds that way. If we say Rabbi Yossi holds that way, then it means that there was a time during that day when she wasn't in fact tamei, not like the chacham. Would say that it comes out once she had a flow that it turns out that she was tamei the whole time, retroactively to the beginning of the day. No, we would say Rabbi Yossi says that only from now on is she tamei. Therefore, there was a period during the day over there when she was tahor. Good, as long as they shechted and sprinkled the blood of the korban pesach during that time, then she's yotze the korban. So, not necessarily does that show that tumas hatahoim by ziva is going to work. Maybe it's only because Rabbi Yossi would say over here that there was a period when she wasn't tamei at all. Now, this kind of thing, whether she's matamei l'mafreya or l'haba, Tosfos points out, we do find that kind of machlokas everywhere else. As opposed to if we were to say that maybe Rabbi Yossi holds that the tzitz helps by tumas satahoim, by ziva, where it doesn't help according to the chachamim, that would be a machlokas. We don't find such a machlokas anywhere else. So therefore, we'd rather not invent a new machlokas that we don't know of, as opposed to whether to say that she's metame l'mafreya mikano laba, that we find a machlokas about it elsewhere in Shas. Okay. So the problem with that is, okay, so you tell it now. The Gemara is going to ask soon, according to Rabbi Yossi, how does a woman ever become a Zava in the first place, a Zava G'dola in the first place, if he says that once she toveled, then the next flow doesn't count with the previous one. We'll get to that point later in the Gemara. But right now, we have to first deal with, does that in fact work, that according to Rabbi Yossi, can we say that Rabbi Yossi would hold Mikano La'abahi Matama? So the problem with that is, Vahatanya, we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Zav Bal Shtei Re'iyas, Shez Shochtu V'Zoku Olav HaShvi Shaloi, if you have a Zav who has only had two flows of Ziva, now the point is, Rashi says, if he had only one flow, then he's only like a Bal Keri, he doesn't have the 7 days of Bechlal. If he had three flows, then he has to anyway bring a Korban, he can't have the korban pesach brought on his behalf and eat the korban until he brings his korban, and that he can only do the morning of the eighth. And once that happens, even once he comes to the morning of the eighth, even if he has another flow of ziva, doesn't matter. It doesn't combine with the previous ones. The question is, in other words, like this: a zav, we're saying, has to count 7 clean days. The rule is, if any time during those 7 days he has a flow of ziva, then it ruins his whole count and he has to start all over again. So now, what happens is. But on the other hand, not after the 7th day. If he has a flow on the 8th day or on, nothing happens. Then he's a new. Then we start counting over again to see how many times ziva he has, and therefore what the din of his tumah is. So what happens is, therefore, so if he had 2 flows and now he's counting his 7 clean days, now if on the 7th day he has another flow of ziva, then it ruins his whole count. He has to start all over. Now, the same thing would be true of a 3-time Zav, but we're not focusing on him right now because a 3-time Zav anyway, even if his 7th day is Erev Pesach, and even if he comes out, the whole thing, he ended up being clean. There was no further ziva on that 7th day, doesn't really help us. He can't bring a korban and he can't eat a korban until the 8th day when he brings his korbanos for the end of his ziva. So that's why we're focusing on the 2-time Zav. So Zav Bal Shteirius, Sheshachtu V'Zoku Olav V'Shvi Shaloi, if they shechted and sprinkled the blood on it for him on the 7th day of his counting, V'Achakach Ra, later on that day he had a Re'iya of Ziva, V'chein Shemer Asiyem K'neged Yom, Sheshachtu V'Zoku Olav V'Sheni Shaloi, the same thing as Shemer Asiyem K'neged Yom, we said before, a woman who had a flow of blood for 1 day or 2 days in a row, so they sprinkled and they shechted and sprinkled the blood of the Korban Pesach on her clean day, on the 2nd day, meaning the day after she had her flow. v'achakach rasa. Then afterwards, she had a flow, which now makes her back to be a zava. Harei l'matamin mishkav moshev l'mafreya. Then this zav or this zava or retroactively their matame, whatever they sat on or whatever they laid on, because retroactively it turns out that they were zavim. This is in Shlosha Prakam of Rambam these days, is actually discussing these dinim. Upturim milasas Pesach Sheni. On the other hand, they're potter from making Pesach Sheni. So you see, in other words, so it's not a matter of their potter because we're saying that Rabbi Yossi himself is saying it's not their potter from making Pesach Sheni because there was a time during that day when they weren't tamei. No, Rabbi Yossi is clearly saying that the tumma goes retroactively. In other words, that so this zav, for example, it's a seventh day. He tovled at some point in the afternoon. Then he sat on a chair. Later on that day, before shtia, he had another flow of ziva. Now it turns out that chair is tamei. And therefore, so that means that his tumma is lamafreya. So there was no, so we don't say there was any time when he was considered to be tahor. Well then, why is he potter from making Pesach Sheni? But pashtus, the only reason could be because we apply the concept of tumas atahoim there. And we say that tumas atahoim will help the tzitz will make it effective even when it's tumas atahoim of ziva. So therefore, what are you telling me at the bottom of the previous Ovid? What are you telling me, Rabbi Yosef, that Tumas Atahoim does not work by Ziva? On the face of it over here, Rabbi Yosef at least is saying that it does. The answer is Amri. So they answered, Maila Mafreya, what do you mean when you say that he's Metame, his chair or his bed or whatever, Lamafreya, means Midirabbanon, it's Tome, not on a Doraisa level. On a Doraisa level, we would say he's only Metame, Mikanulahaba. And therefore, we do go back to what we said before. There was a period of time during the day when he wasn't tame, and therefore during that time they brought the Korban Pesach for him, and therefore we're good. On the other hand, when it comes to Mishkav and Moshev, we're saying Dirabbanon. We'll say that those are still tame. But as far as the Korban Pesach, we don't need to resort to Tumas Atahoim. We can say there was a time during the day when he was tahor. Therefore, during that time, they brought the Korban Pesach. Therefore, he's good. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Va'afrab oshias sava matamel amafrei midrabanan." In fact, it's not only Rabbi Yosi who holds that. We can show that Rabbi Oshia also holds that this concept, even if we say that the zav or the shemer siyam keneged yom is matamel mishkav amoshav, we can say that that's only dirabanan once they had tovled, and now only later in the day do they see a flow. D'tanya, we learn in a braiser of Oshia Omer. That Rabbi Oshia says. Now Rabbi Oshia, on the face of it, is an Amora. So how is he speaking in a Braisa? So one possibility is that in fact it's supposed to say De Omer Rabbi Oshia. Another possibility is that actually Rabbi Oshia is that it's not so much that the Tanya that we learn in a Braisa, but rather Rabbi Oshia is quoting and then going and explaining a Mishnah in Masech de Zavim. So it would really be more detnan that not so much that he's speaking in the Mishnah, but he's explaining the Mishnah, he's saying the Mishnah, and then giving an explanation on it. So Rabbi Oshia had said, Aval Zav Shara B'Shvi Shaloi, however, a Zav who has a flow on a seventh day, so Sir Eschelafanov, that undoes the count of days that he does before that, and he has to start all over again. Rashi says, by the way, I don't know what this Aval is referring to. What do you mean? He's beginning a sentence with Aval, but what is it referring to? So again, one possibility is he's actually referring to a Mishnah in Zvachim over there, which says this point that if a Zav has a flow on the seventh day, then that cancels out the count of days before that. Now, the Amalei Rabbi Yechanan, so Rabbi Yechanan, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Oshia, asked him, Lo Yister Ela Yoimai, why should it make him lose his whole seven-day count just because he had a flow of one day? Why shouldn't we say that he should have to just recount one day? Now, the Gemara says, wait a second, what is Rabbi Yechanan asking? Either way you look at it, why does Rabbi Yechanan say one day? If Rabbi Yechanan agrees that he's tamei retroactively, once he had a flow of ziva on that day, it turns out retroactively that was not one of the seven days. Therefore, he didn't have 7 days, so he has to count all over because we know that the 7 days have to be consecutive. Then kulu nami, then afilu kulu nister. Then he should be so all of them. And if he holds, like we said before, Rabbi Yossi holds that only mikano lahaba is itame, so then yoimenami lo nister. Then why should he be losing that one day either? The fact is, we would say miktasayim kakoloi. We would say that once he counted part of that day and it was tahor, then it would count as a full day. Now when he has ziva again, it would be a whole new thing. So why is Rabbi Yechanan asking Rabbi Oshia that he should lose one day? What's Rabbi Yechanan's svara? So the Gemara says, you're right. You're right. What Rabbi Yechanan is asking is that he shouldn't even ruin that day. It should still be considered that day counts as his seventh day. Now, it is true, Rabbi Yechanan is going to say that, fine, if it was earlier during the 7 days, then fine, Rabbi Yechanan is going to agree that it ruins his days because then you have a break in the middle. But here, where it's the seventh day, and we can say, miktasayim kakoloi, so Rabbi Yechanan is asking, why does he lose anything? We should say that seventh day is valid. Okay, now we have to start considering again, is he a Zav or a Balkari or what have you?
How can you say miktasayim kukuloi in the case of a zav when we know that that's not the case?
We don't know that that's the case. That's what we're saying over here. Listen, if we say mikanu l'abo humutame, then what it means is that we say to that extent miktasayim kukuloi. Obviously, yes, he still needs to go until shkia. He still needs to tovel. He still needs to have a head of shemesh in order to be completely tahor. But we're dealing with the question, right? What we're dealing with the question is, this that we say, a zav has to count 7 days, and the 7 days have to be consecutive. And therefore, if there's ziva during the 7 days,
And they have to be full days.
Well, one second. That's what we're saying.
Here.
No, hold on. What we're saying is maybe you need 7 consecutive days, but maybe the 7th day doesn't have to be a complete one. Not in the sense he doesn't have to have, eventually he has to have a head of Shemesh, of course. But the question is, if he has Ziva on that 7th day, is that going to ruin his whole count? Does that mean that he didn't have 7 full days? Or will we say, in terms of the count, he had 7 days? In terms of Tumah, sure, right now he's Tomei, he's going to need to go to the Mikveh, he's going to need a head of Shemesh. Fine, all very good. But we're going to say that only Mikano Labo Homotame, in other words, this is considered like a new Ziva. What we'd say, in other words, exactly that. We would say the 7 days of counting for his old ziva are finished. Now this one does not destroy that count. However, he's now a balkeri, or now he's a or whatever again. So fine, he's tamei now, and he's tamei now, and he's going to need to go to the mikveh again. Either way, he needs head of shemesh, but not necessarily that this one would ruin his whole count, and he has to start the whole 7 days over. That's exactly what we're discussing.
So listen.
So we said the Chachamim hold that the Chachamim hold no such thing. They hold Mafreya Humatame. We said Rabbi Yossi, so far we said, is taking a middle ground, sort of. Rabbi Yossi is saying, as far as Daraisa, we would say Miktasayim Kukuloi. So once he started counting that 7th day and nothing happened, then that does validly count as his 7th day. So now he's done with his Ziva. Now we can talk about what other tumah he has, but in terms of his old ziva, he's done. And by the way, it's also relevant, again, if he's a 3-time zav and he has to bring a korban, same thing. We're going to say, if we say that only mikano la'abo humatame, l'chura, we would still say that he could still bring his korban on the 8th day, because having had only one flow is not enough to make him a zav. It's only enough to make him like a balkeri. Fine, a balkeri is tumah for the day. He tovels in the mikveh, and then he has head of shemesh, and that's that. So in other words, if we say that mikano l'abo humatame, it means he's not losing the 7 days that he counted until now. We said Rabbi Yossi holds that d'oraisa, that's the case. The fact that we say that he's mitame l'mafreya is only d'rabbanan. So now we're discussing the same thing in a discussion of Rabbi Oshia and his Talmud Rabbi Yechanan. Where again, we're saying that this that he's mitame l'mafreya, the bed that he laid on, or the cat, or the chair that he sat on, or whatever, is only d'rabbanon. D'oraisa, we would say that once the 7th day began, and once the 7th day began, and there was no ziva, then that's it. That counts as the 7th day, miktasayim kakuloi, and therefore anything that happens after that is something new. That's the point we're getting at.
No, I understand, but well, the logic is weak, because for the last 6 days, they had to be full days. Otherwise, he's dummy.
Yeah, but the reason why the last 6 days... Hold on. the reason, let me explain. The reason why the first 6 days have to be full days is because there have to be seven consecutive days. There can't be any break of ziva between them. Well, once the seventh day has began, if we said miktasem kukuloi, then the fact that there was a ziva later in the day is not a break in the 7 days. You had six complete days and the beginning of a seventh, according to Rabbi Yossi, on a daraisa level, at least that's good enough. Now it's the equivalent of seven full days.
Like Shiva.
The Torah says sheshes yamim.
No, the Torah says sheshes yamim, but so what? The Torah also tells us by yoyim hashmini yimo b'saro losei. But do we wait 8 24-hour periods after a baby is born to do a bris? No, we do it on the eighth day. When you think about it, you could have a baby could be mild and he's not even 7 times 24 days old yet, right? I mean, you know, imagine a baby is born a minute before shkia on a Tuesday, let's say, and you mild him the next day, you mild him the next week, Tuesday morning. He's not even 7 times 24 days old yet, but it's the eighth calendar day, and that's good enough. So the same way, Rabbi Yossi is going to say over here, fine, I need the first 6 days to be free of ziva, because those have to be, because otherwise you don't have it consecutive, otherwise it's broken up by ziva in the middle. But once you have part of the seventh day, then that's good enough. Now that's considered as the equivalent of a full day, and whatever happens after that is a new thing, not tied to what we had before.
Saying the seventh day is not the same thing as saying 7 days. Those are two different expressions. The seventh day means any time during the seventh day. 7 days means 7 days.
7 days mean, well, we can still, no, 7 days can still be, we can still say that the seventh day itself, miktaseim kukuloi. All right, let's go on. We need to go on. But that's how it is. Rabbi Yossi holds that it works, and we're discussing now between Rabbi Oshia and Rabbi Yechanan whether it works. So anyway, so Rabbi Oshia had quoted that saying that if a Zav has a flow on the seventh day, it does cancel everything else. In other words, we don't say miktaseim kukuloi. Rabbi Yochanan is asking him, once we fixed up the Lashon, that Rabbi Yochanan is asking, why does he lose anything at all? V'omole, and Rabbi Oshia tells him, Rabbi Yossi, koi kavasach. As a matter of fact, you should know Rabbi Yossi holds like you. So very good. You know, you were machaven to what Rabbi Yossi is saying. Now, the question is, how could we say Rabbi Yossi says that? V'ho Rabbi Yossi oimim makamen mishkov v'moshev l'mafreya. Didn't Rabbi Yossi say in the Braisa before that they are matame their bed or their chair or whatever, l'mafreya? So what do you mean that he says that? So what do you mean that he says that it doesn't lose his days? El alav shmamin matame l'mafreya midrabanan. So obviously this that he's matame the mishkav u'moshav is only drabanan. That's how Rabbi Oshia is understanding Rabbi Yossi. Shmamina, so good. That proves it. That is how Rabbi Oshia understands Rabbi Yossi to hold. So again, according to Rabbi Yossi, we do say miktaseyem kekuloi in this case, as in other cases. And by the way, here I'll give you an example. You want an example where miktaseyem kekuloi helps in these dinim? Consider for example a nida d'oraisa. The pasuk says that a nida is tamei for 7 days. Forgetting about for a minute how we do nowadays, where we consider her more like a zava, whatever. The point is that a nida. That a nida midaraisa is tomei for 7 days, meaning that if she had a flow of nida on Sunday, then she can tovel on Motzei Shabbos, which is the where it was Shabbos being the seventh day. She tovels the night after the seventh day. We don't say now it doesn't matter how long during Sunday the flow lasted. It doesn't matter whether it was a minute. It doesn't matter whether it was an hour. It doesn't matter whether it was even a minute before Shkia. We still, that day, Sunday, still counts as the first day. And then Monday is the second and so forth. So you see there also you have miktaseyem kekuloi. But in any case, the fact is we do apply miktaseyem kekuloi in various areas of halacha. There's other examples
of
it. There's other examples of that where we apply miktaseyem kekuloi when a thing has to be a certain number of days old or something. Yeah.
Are you saying then that a nida can go to the mikveh in the morning of the seventh day?
No, because Gzeiras HaKosov is the nida has to go to the mikveh the night after the seventh day. We learned about that in Masech Nida.
So that's the point.
No, so fine. The seventh day. In her case, the seventh day has to be complete, but the first day doesn't have to be complete. That was my point. So the point is the first day doesn't have to be complete. So you have in different places in Gemara, we talk about miktaseyem kekuloi working at one end, at the beginning, at the other end, or even at both ends. There are cases where it works.
So now you're saying that some days have to be complete and some not. What kind of logic is that?
The logic is that you need the days to be consecutive. So with our Zav over here, if he were to have a flow of Ziva on the fifth or the sixth or whatever day, it's not a the problem is not that you don't have a day. The problem is that then the days are broken up. Then you have 5 days, then a day of Tuma, then after it, two more days of Tara. That doesn't work. You need 7 days. You need 7 consecutive days of Tara. But Rabbi Yossi is saying that seventh day does not have to be a full day. As long as you had some part of it was Batara, then you're good. There's Tuma later on that.
It doesn't matter. Where does he get that from?
Because we have in different places in halacha where we say miktsa sayem kekulay. There are many examples in halacha. I just gave examples, for example, from Bris and from Nida. And I just gave examples where you say that miktsa sayem kekulay. There are cases where we say miktsa sayem kekulay. That's just how it is.
Who says that it applies to korbanos?
Who says that what applies to Nida applies to korbanos?
Yes, who says that?
If we don't have a reason to say that it shouldn't, then it should. And besides which, anyway, first of all, it does apply to korbanos as well. For example, when we say that an animal can only be offered as a korban beginning from the 8th day of its life, same idea. You can have the animal was born a minute before Shkia, and you can be makrivit the following week on that same day of the week, even though it's not even 7 full days old yet, because it is the 8th calendar day. And yeah, that's, you know, many times we learn things from one part of Torah to another. Here we're not even talking about korbanos. Here we're talking about the question whether the fellow is tomei or not, whether he loses his 7 days and has to start counting over his 7 days. Yeah, we can very much say it's the same kekulei in this case. Okay, anyway, we have to go on. If we want to discuss it later on after we're done, then we'll do that. But let's go on. The point is that we say Rabbi Yossi holds that, and we said Rabbi Oshia also understands Rabbi Yossi to be holding that way. That deraisa, we say it works, therefore he doesn't lose his count. Only derabbanan do we say that we're metamei l'mafreya and make the bed or whatever that he laid on be tamei. Okay. So now the question is, Ula Rabbi Yossi. Now we have to go back to, now let's go back and understand something else about Rabbi Yossi's opinion. He's saying again that if you have the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom or the Zav who had a flow later on that same day, we said it doesn't count with the previous one. So let's focus on the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom. Well, before we get to that, we have to figure out now, can we use Rabbi Yossi's opinion to answer the original question of Rami Bachama's that we started the sugya with? Again, we had Rami Bachama asking whether the concept of Tumas HaTahoim, when we say that a person discovers after the korban was brought that they were tamei with Tumas HaTahoim, nevertheless, the korban is still valid and they were yotze. Does that work also if the koyin that was doing the avoida was tamei from Tumas HaTahoim? So now let's see if we can relate what Rabbi Yossi is saying back to that. Now, if Rabbi Yossi is saying that the Zav or the Zava is only Matama Mikano Laba, that Daraisa, we say that they had their day, they had their 1 day or their 7th day as the case may be, and it's only Mikano Laba that they're Matame, then Lames Bilvad Lamautimai, then we have to go back to the Bchias Braisa. According to him, what would the word Lames, when we said that there's Tumas HaTahoim only by Mes, what would it be coming to exclude? Before Rabbi Yosef had said that it could be coming to exclude Ziva, but now according to Rabbi Yosef, there's no such thing as Tumas HaTahoim of Ziva, because there's never there, if you have it once he or she toivled, then once the seventh day came, or once the 1 day came, then already they're considered Tahor to that extent that a new flow is not going to combine with the previous one. So we don't say that there's a suffix at this point whether they're Tomei. There's a suffix whether later in the day they're going to become Tomei, but that doesn't matter as long as right now they're for sure Tahor. So Lames Bilvad Lama Otimai. So according to him, what is the in Reb Chiya's Braisa, what is the word Loi Hutra Tumas HaTahoim El Lames Bilvad, a mess as opposed to what? So Nifshit Minod Debekoyin Vahutra Loi Tumas HaTahoim. So therefore, shouldn't we be able to answer? When we looked at that braisa before, we figured to say it must be excluding Tumas HaTahoim that would apply to the Kohen. Or what we said, rather, no, what we said is that it's coming to exclude Tumas Sheretz, but that could only be referring to the Kohen, because again, by the Nozer or the Oise Pesach, Tumas Sheretz doesn't really matter. By the Nozer, it doesn't matter at all. By the Oise Pesach, you have an opinion that it doesn't matter. So therefore, we said over there that the Braisa has to be referring to the Kohen, and that would have answered Rami Bachama's question. So we said that, no, maybe it's talking about Tumas HaTahoim of Ziva, but now, if according to Rabbi Yossi, there is no such thing as Tumas HaTahoim of Ziva, then it has to be referring to Tumas HaTahoim of the Kohen. So it's saying, in other words, that yes, Tumas HaTahoim does work even if the Kohen is Tomei with Tumas HaTahoim, as long as it was Tumas Mes. So Nifshet Mina, should we be able to answer from that that the Braisa is talking about a Kohen and saying, at least according to Rabbi Yossi, that Tumas HaTahoim is that it is okay with him if it turns out that he had Tumas HaTahoim, nevertheless the Korban is kosher. Amri, so they said, still not. La'olam b'baylam of Pesach, still not. You could still say the Braisa is referring to the owner. It is referring to the Korban Pesach. Fine, not to the Nazir, but it's referring to the Korban Pesach. Because Sava ain't Shechtan Bezokin al Tmei Sheretz. Fine, we could say that before we assume the Braisa was going according to the opinion that before we said actually that the Braisa could go according to either opinion, we could say we said if it goes according to the opinion that you can't shecht the Korban Pesach for Tmei Sheretz, then we said then that's what it means. Even if it was Tumas HaTahoim of a Sheretz, it still doesn't work. We asked what about according to the opinion that says you could shecht for a Tmei Sheretz. Okay, so now we can say definitively that the Braisa holds you can't shecht the Korban Pesach for a Tmei Sheretz. So therefore we need the word loy omer Tumas HaTahoim elo lemes bovad in order to exclude the Tomei Sheretz, even though it was Tumas HaTahoim, because it's a Sheretz rather than mess, and the concept of Tumas HaTahoim applies only to a mess. So the question now is, let's deal with a difficulty that we glossed over in Rabbi Yossi's opinion. We said that according to Rabbi Yossi, again, you have a Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom. She had a flow yesterday. She tovels today. Later on in the day, she has another flow. Rabbi Yossi is saying it's not Lamafreya, it's only Mekano Lahaba. Only from now on it's Shitame. Therefore, there was a period of time during the day there when she was Tahor, and during that time, the Korban Pesach could be brought for her. But how are you ever going to find a Zava Gmura, a Zava Gdola, who has a flow 3 days in a row, according to Rabbi Yossi? How are you ever going to have such a thing? The normal case is she has a flow, then it stops, then later on it starts again, and so forth. So how are you going to have a case where for 3 days in a row she has a flow and is considered a Zava Gdola, if, according to Rabbi Yossi, every time is considered like something separate? The answer is b'shefas. You can have the case where she's flowing constantly throughout 3 days, or it doesn't even really have to be throughout 3 days. It could be, let's say, from the afternoon of Sunday. She starts on the afternoon of Sunday, let's say. She continues throughout the whole Sunday night, the whole Monday day and night, and into Tuesday morning after Alois HaShachar. There you go. You have 3 days. Again, there's another example. You say Miktasim Gekuloi, by the way, because you say the fact that she had a flow on any part of Sunday means that Sunday is the one day. The fact that she had on any part of Tuesday means that Tuesday is the third day. Now she's a Zava Gdola. But you're right, according to WIC, you would have to have that there was actually no break in the middle. Inami, or another possibility, I could have another Iboyisema, rather, another possibility you could have, Gugancherosa Kol Shnei Ben Ashmoshes. Let's say that on Sunday night she had a flow Ben Ashmoshes. Now, Bein HaShemoshes over here means a little bit different than it usually does. It doesn't mean during the time when it's Suffolk day, Suffolk night. It means from the end of the day into the beginning of the night. So let's say, in other words, so Rashi gives an example. Let's say, for example, she had a flow on Friday afternoon going into the beginning of Shabbos. So now you have Friday and Shabbos. In order to have a yom tahor, you have to have the night was also tahor. Rashi is saying, Rashi says the expression ve'ein kan tchilas yom tahor shiyalo l'sfira. You don't have the beginning of a clean day to count towards the count, because at the beginning of the night already she was still flowing. So, and the same thing. Now, let's say the same thing happens Motzei Shabbos again. That she starts Shabbos late afternoon and continues into after Shkia, after Tzitzak Kachavim on Motzei Shabbos. There you go. So it wasn't continuous, but you also didn't have one. You didn't have any day over there. In order for the day to count as a Yom Tahor, it has to be that at least the beginning of the day was Tahor. And here you don't have that. So Rashi also adds again. Now Rashi says over here, we would say that if we say miktsaseim kekuloi, the night would count for that purpose also. Otherwise, the Gemara didn't have to mention here bein hashmoshes. The Gemara could have mentioned over here, let's say that she had the flows at night, b'chla, without dealing with the question of it beginning in one day and extending into the next one. The fact that the Gemara doesn't say that shows that the beginnings of the nights also count towards the sphere. So therefore, if the beginning of the night had been clean, then yes, it could count as her one day, according to Rabbi Yossi. But because it wasn't, because the beginning of the night itself, she was having the flow, therefore that day doesn't count. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, those are the kinds of cases where you could have a woman becomes a Zavag Dola. Tosfos gets into a long discussion about that. Is that in fact the case? Maybe the night is not considered a Yom Shomer. But on the other hand, if Rabbi Yossi is saying Miktaseim Kekuloi, then at least to that extent, we're going to say that it's not considered a Yom Shomer. Tosfos gets into a long discussion of the pros and cons of it. Anyway, the point is that yes, you can find a scenario according to Rabbi Yossi where a woman is going to end up being a Zavag Dola, either where it was continuous, let's say from Sunday night and from Sunday afternoon until Tuesday morning, or not even continuous. It started Sunday afternoon and continued into Sunday night. And again, then it started Monday afternoon and continued into Monday night. So there is no clean day in between for Rabbi Yossi to say that it would break things up. So anyway, the bottom line is we left Romy Bachoma's question open. Whether if the Kohen who's bringing the Korban Pesach or the Korban of the Nazir, if it turns out that he was Tomei with Tumas HaTahoim, does it happen? Do we say that nevertheless the Korban is still kosher? The Rambam paskens that it does. So therefore, even by the Kohen, it would work. Okay. So now a related question: Boy Rabbi Yosef. What about the Kohen who's bringing the Korban Tamid throughout the rest of the year? Now, if we say that Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, if we say that the Korbanas Tzibur can even be brought L'Chatchila B'Tumah, then there's no question. Fine, the Kohen who's available is Tameh, no problem. There's no difference whether he's Tameh or Tahor. But if we hold that Tumah D'Chuya Hi B'Tzibur, as we've talked about in the last few days, where we say that it's only reluctantly that we want to allow a Korban Tzibur to be brought B'Tumah, and therefore, if we have an alternative, we'd rather not. So therefore, the question is, if we have the Kohen who's available to do the Korban Tamid is Tomei, but it turns out that he had Tumas HaTahoim. So would we say that he's able to bring the Tamid anyway, because Tumas HaTahoim for that purpose wouldn't matter, or would we say, nevertheless, we have to try to find a different Kohen? So, in other words, Rashi is explaining the question is not if he did it and later on he found out that he was Tomei, because then fine, Tumah D'Chuya B'Tzibur still is going to allow it. The question is, are we going to allow him now when he may have become Tomei with Tumas HaTahoim, can we allow him to bring the Tomei, or do we have to find a different Kohen? The question is, Imtim Tzolom HaKohen HaMeratze B'Korban HaSeyin Shol Nozer V'Oisa Pesach Hutra Lo Tumas HaTahoim. Now you could say, to answer Romy Bachoma's question, that yes, the Kohen who brings the Korbanos of the Nozer and the Oisa Pesach, then Tumas HaTahoim is Mutter for him, if we take that as a given, which is why, by the way, the Rambam paskens that way, because the Rambam has a general rule that he paskens like Imtim Tzolom HaKohen in the Gemara. So now that Rabbi Yosef is using that assumption as a basis for his question, then that shows that yes, the halacha is if the Kohen who brought the person's Korban Pesach, who brought the Nazir's Korban, if it turns out that he was Tomei with Tumas HaTahoim, then it's fine, b'dieved, it's okay. So given that, would we say, still, Kohen Amaratza B'Tomid, but the Kohen who's offering the Korban Tomid, the Kohen who's sprinkling the blood of the Tomid, may. What would be the din with him? Mi Amrinan, do we say, Ki Gmirit Tumas Atahoim B'Pesach? Maybe we learn the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, that Tumas Atahoim is okay, is only by the Korban Pesach. B'Tomid Lo Gmirit, maybe we don't learn it in connection with the Tomid. Oduma Yalef Tomid M'Pesach. Maybe not. Maybe we could learn the Tomid from the Pesach and say that just like the Pesach, Tumas Atahoim is okay, so it is by the Tomid. So Rabbah says we should be able to answer that based on a kavachomer. Madoch in a case of the Korban Pesach where a known tumah is not mutter, meaning in other words, if the Korban Pesach is being brought batara and you have one individual who's tomeh with tumah satahoim, then we don't say, or not even tumah satahoim, we say that if he's tomeh vadai, then he can't bring his Korban Pesach, right? He has to bring Pesach sheni. So we don't allow him a tumah yedua unless the tzibur is bringing the korban pesach, a known tumah, unless the tzibur is bringing it with tumah. Yet hutru le tumah satahoim, and yet we are matir if he had tumah satahoim and only discovered it later on. So then makam shehutru le tumah yedua. So then in that case, by korbanos tzibur, where we even allow with tumah yedua, because after all the korban tzibur can be brought with tumah no matter what. So if there's no tahorim, then we bring the korban b'tuma. Ein edin shehutru lo tumas atahoim. Shouldn't it be a kavachomer that we allow him tumas atahoim? And therefore, so even if there are tahorim available, then it should be mutter, and he should be able to bring the tumid. Amri, however, the yeshiva light said, how does that work? Since when do we use a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai as a basis for a kavachomer? We can't do that. A kavachomer is meant to be used only on things in pesukim. Halacha l'moshe m'Sinai by definition is something that it doesn't say in a pasuk. Therefore, we can't use kavachomers on it. V'hotanya, and we know that because we learn in a braisa. So now we have a discussion in Masech the Nazir. We also learned it in Masech the Shabbos, that you have a case over there. Now there are certain cases where Nazir becomes Tomei Mes, but nevertheless he doesn't have to start as Nazirus over. He becomes Tomei. He has to be sprinkled with Paradum of water, but he doesn't lose the Nazirus that he did until now, and he doesn't have to bring Korbanos Tumah. So you have a case over there involving a revius of blood that a nazir touches or carries. So we say over there that's not one of the tumas that a nazir has to restart his nazirus because of. So Rabbi Akiva says, why not? We should be able to make a kavachomer. Madoch, if he touches a bone the size of a grain of barley, that is not matame a person's ba'oihil. And yet, if a nazir touches that bone, then he does have to start his nazirus over. So revius dam, which is matame, even ba'oihel, how much more so that he should be tame and restored as nazirus if he touches this revius dam. So now comes the part that we quote in the Gemara. Omale Rabbi Eliezer, Akiva. So Rabbi Eliezer tells him that to Akiva, he says that doesn't work. Etzim kesa'ora halacha, the fact that a bone the size of a grain of barley is metame and makes a nazir have to restart his nazirus, that is halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. Revius dam kavachomer, you want to learn from that a revius dam by a kavachomer, that doesn't work. Ve'ein donim kavachomer mehalacha, you cannot learn a kavachomer from halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. Because the halacha, again, because kavachomer is only meant to be applied to things that we learn from psukim, and a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai is not. So what are you telling me, Rabbah, that you can learn a kavachomer from this halacha l'moshe m'Sinai about tumas atahoim? That doesn't work. Ela Omar Rava, Yalif Moyadei Moyadei M'Pesach. Rather, Rava says, no, fine, what we do is we learn by a kavachomer on the word Moyadei from Pesach. We had before that by the Korban Pesach, it says, V'yasu b'nei Yisrael ha'posach b'moyadei. By the Korban Tumah, it says, Tishmeru l'hakriv li b'moyadei. So therefore, we have a gzeira shava that, yes, we can say that what applies to one applies to the other. Now, still, you have the question, how could you do that on a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai? So there are actually different opinions about that. Yesh omrim, that we're not saying we're applying a gzeira shava to the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. The opposite, what we're saying is we have this gzeira shava, which compares tamid to Pesach. Once we have that gzeira shava, then we're applying all the dinim, as many dinim as possible, from one to the other. And one of them is this din of tumas atahoim. That's one way. The other way of understanding, in fact, the Tzlach, I think, says that, yeah, we can say you can't learn a kavachomer from a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, but maybe you could learn a gzeira shava using a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. Okay. Now, we just took as a given that Tumas Satahoim is a halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim. But in an earlier generation of Amoraim, they didn't know that yet. So therefore, they first had to discuss where in the pasuk we find it. Eventually, we conclude that it's a halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim, and then we have the sugya that we just had where Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef are discussing it, and the Gemara can take it as a given that it's a halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim. But the Gemara says, "V'tumas atahoim gufa heichaksiva." Where does it say in the pasuk anything about tumas atahoim that by the nazir and by the pesach that it would be okay? So Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amakro v'chiyamus mes olav. The pasuk says, if a mes dies on him. Now, what's the word on him? It means b'mukhoveras olav. Only if it's clear to him. Only if he knows that the mes is there, but not if it's a tumas atahoim where nobody knows that it's there. Okay, Ashkechan Nazir, fine. So that tells us by the Nazir. What about Oysa Pesach Menolon? Where do we see the same concept applies to an Oysa Pesach? Because the Pasuk says that by the Korban Pesach, that he brings Pesach Sheni, if he's on a distant journey for you. And again, the word Lachem would mean, it's not talking about the journey, it's talking about Tumah. But in other words, well, the Pasuk is Tomei Lanefesh, Oy B'derech Rechoika Lachem. So the word Lachem refers not only to the Derech Rechoika, it refers also to the Tomei. So we would learn as if the Pasuk said Tomei Lochem. So it means Tomei that you know about, not Tumas Atahoim. Okay. Reb Shimon Lakish Omar, Kederech. Reb Shimon Lakish says, we don't have to learn from the word Lochem. We can learn from the word Derech. The fact that the Torah is making a hekish between Tumah and Derech means Ma Derech Begolui, just like a road is exposed and everybody can see that it's there. The same way, Af Tumah Nami Begolui, the same way the Tumah has to be something exposed that people know about. So we do have a source for it in the pasuk, one or another of these sources. However, the Gemara says Meisvi, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says Ezehu Tumas Atahoim. What is the definition of Tumas Atahoim? Is Kol Shalai Hikur Ba'echad B'Seifa Olam? Only if nobody, even at the other end of the world, knows that it's there. Hikur Ba'echad B'Seifa Olam. If even one person, even at the other end of the world, knows that it's there, Ein Zeh Tumas Atahoim, then it's not Tumas Atahoim. So now, if we're learning from these psukim, why should that be the case? That if even only one person knows about it, it's not Tumas Atahoim. Rabbi Eliezer, who's learning from the word olav, should say ad yodahu, that it's only considered a tuma only if he himself knows about it, and he doesn't, because only some other person does. According to Rabbi Yechanan, was learning from the word lachem that it has to be known to you, plural. Then ad the yadi batrein. Then we should say ad rabbi. You need to have at least two people know about it in order to be yotze what it says lachem. And according to Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, who says that it has to be like a derech, then it should have to be that the whole world knows about it. The same way as the whole world knows that there's a derech there. So this that we're saying, that if even one person at the other end of the world knows about it, it's not Tumas Atahoim, doesn't work according to any of these three limudim. Okay, so the Gemara says, you're right. Ela Tumas Atahoim Hilchus Gemirila. So the bottom line is, Tumas Atahoim is a halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim. Ukra, smachta ba'alma. The various psukim that they brought for it are only asmachtas. They're not the actual source of the halacha. So therefore, so now, by the time Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef came around, the next generation, the Chachamim already knew that. Therefore, before in the discussion between Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef, we could take it as a given. That's halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim. And therefore, when Rabbah wanted to learn a kavah chomer from it, then we could say that doesn't work. You can't learn a kavah chomer from a halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Amar Mar Rav Ashi, lo shanu ela shenoida lo la'achav zrika. This that we're saying that Tumas Atahoim is okay is only if he found out that he was Tomei after the blood of the korban was sprinkled. Dechi izdurik dam shapir izdurik. At least when the blood was sprinkled, it was sprinkled validly. As far as they knew, he was Tahor at the time. Therefore, even it turns out now that he was Tomei, then fine, the tzitz helps to make it acceptable. Avol noideloi lifnei zrika, but if he finds out that he's Tomei, even from Tumas Atahoim, before the zrika, loy meratza, then it's not acceptable, even the tzitz doesn't help. So the Gemara says, Meisvi, I have a contradiction on that. A braisa says, hamoitzim mes mushkav l'roich b'shal derech, suppose that you find a mess lying across the width of the road, and you walked on that road, so inevitably, l'chore, you had to have touched that mess or been a Tumas Oihel over it or whatever. or moved it. So then Latruma Tome, when it comes to eating Truma, then there's no heter of Truma Satahoim. So therefore, and here it's lying across the road. You don't even have Truma Satahoim. So therefore, when it comes to Truma, he's Tome. He can't eat Truma until he becomes Tahir. L'nazir v'oisa Pesach Tahir. But when it comes to Nazir and Oisa Pesach, then he will be Tahir because, as we're going to say soon, there is the possibility that maybe he managed to pass by without touching the mess and without being mile on the mess, as we're going to discuss soon in the Gemara. Now, the problem is, when we use the expression Tomei and Tahir, we're not talking about whether he already brought the Korban Pesach, and we're talking about whether it's kosher or not. We're talking about can he bring the Korban Pesach, or can he bring the Korbanos of another? Otherwise, the expression would be kosher or posel. Tomei and Tahir implies Tahir, that he's able to go now, continue, and bring his Korban Pesach. According to Ma'abar Rav Ashi's rule, that shouldn't work because he found out that he was over, that he potentially was over the Tumas HaTahoim before the blood was sprinkled. So you're right. Ele'i itma hochi itma. Rather, what was said as follows. Omer Ma'abar Rav Ashi, lo'i tema no'deloi la'acha zrikohu demeratza, aval no'deloi lifnei zrikohu demeratza. Don't think when it comes to Tumas HaTahoim that only if he found out after Zrika does it work, but if he found out that he had been Tomei with Tumas HaTahoim before Zrika, then it's not Meratza. No, El Afila Noida Lelifnei Zrika Meratza. Even if he finds out about the Tumas HaTahoim before the Zrika, nevertheless, it's still effective. So that's what we're saying over here. In other words, that he passed over this kever. Now he might not have touched it, but we can also be talking about that it's a Tumas HaTahoim. Therefore, we're saying he can go ahead and continue on to bring his Korban Pesach. There is actually a discussion. There's an argument on this between Rashi and the Rambam about, so what exactly are we allowing? Is it that we're allowing only if it was a suffet? Rashi learns that we're allowing it as long as it was Tumas HaTahoim, but he didn't find out about it until he got there to make his Pesach. But if he found out about it before, while he's still on the way, then yes, he would have to stop there and not go bring his Korban Pesach and wait for Pesach Sheni. Whereas the Rambam learns that it's more a matter of as long as there can be a suffix whether he became Tomei or not, then he can still go on and bring it. The Chofetz Chaim actually points out that it comes out there's a Kula and a Chumra according to each one of them. According to Rashi, if he finds out that there was even the possibility of a Tumas HaTahoim there before he reaches Yerushalayim to bring the Korban Pesach, then he can't do it. Only once he's bringing the Korban, then we say that he can go ahead with it. Whereas according to the Rambam, because there's a suffix, he would be allowed to. On the other hand, if he finds out that Vada he passed over the Tumas HaTahoim, the Rambam wouldn't allow him. Rashi still would, because the fact is it is Tumas HaTahoim. So you have a Kula and a Chumra according to each one of them. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Gufa, getting back to the Braisa that we just quoted, Hamoitza mess mushkav l'roich b'shal derech. We said if you find a mess lying across the road, l'truma tome, when it comes to eating truma, we're going to consider him tome, even though there's only a suffix, and therefore you can't eat truma. L'nazir v'oisa pesach tahir, but as far as if he's a nazir going to bring his karbonus, or he's on his way to bring his karbon pesach, then he's tahir, and he's allowed to continue on. When does this apply? Only if there's no space to pass by. In other words, the mess is filling up the whole width of the road. So since at the time when he passed over, it was Tumas HaTahoim, and he only found out about it after the Korban was shechted, or according to the Rambam, the point is there's still a suffix. He might have conceivably managed to go over without becoming Tumay from it. Then therefore he's able to continue. Avo yesh mokum laver, but if there's space to go, if the mess is not filling up the whole width of the road, so he could have walked on one side of the road, afla truma tahor, then he's going to be tahor, even if as far as truma, because then it's a suffolk tumah b'shasarabim, and suffolk tumah b'shasarabim we know is tahor. Continues the braisa, b'med v'ram amum. Also, when do we say that all the supplies, that if it's filling up, that if it's across the whole width of the road, then he's tameh, as far as truma, shemotzei sholem, only if he found the mess whole. Ava Meshubo Mefodak, but if the mess was broken up or divided up, Tahar, then we still say he's Tahar, Shema Bena Prakim Ovar, because he might have passed between the parts. There might have been, let's say you have one part of the body on one side of the road and the other on the other side of the road, and there's a space in between. He might have walked in the space in between. So again, it's a Safek Tuma Birshus Rabin. But if the mess is not lying over there, but rather in a kever, then afilu meshubo mefor. Now, by the way, I mean, if it's not in a kever, then how is it a tumas atahoim? How could nobody know about it? I guess one possibility could be it's covered with something, but it's not actually buried in a kever. Let's say you have a piece of wood or something on top of it, so you didn't realize there's anything underneath it, and you only discover it later on. But if the mess is inside a kever, then afilu meshubo mefodak tameh, then even if it's broken up or even if it's divided up, then the person is still tameh, because the kever combines it all together, and now inevitably then he had to have walked over the kever. Even the empty part of the kever is metameh. Tosfos points out, if the guy's in a kever, that means somebody had to bury him. We said before, it has to be that nobody knows that this body is there. So how do you have a case where he's in a kever and it's considered Tumas Atahoim? So Tosfos says, okay, maybe what it is there was a kever dug over there. This guy fell into it and died. And later on, people didn't realize and they covered it with dirt. So it could still be that he's found inside a kever, but we don't know that somebody actually put him there. So then the point is, again, the kever combines together the whole body. The entire kever is metame, even the part that doesn't have the mess inside it. Therefore, he ends up being tomei. Bamed ranam amurim. And also, when do we say that he's only suffic tomei because the body is broken up and not in a kever, is only b'mahalach beraglav, only if he's walking on his feet, where therefore he could have carefully stepped through and ended up not walking over the part where the mess actually was. But if he's carrying a load or he's riding on an animal, then he's for sure tamei. Because when he's walking on his feet, it's possible for him to be careful and not to touch and not to be mile over the mess, and therefore not necessarily was he in any position to become tamei. But when a person is carrying a burden, then he's inevitably swaying a little bit one side to the other, so he ends up being mile over the mess. Or if he's riding on an animal, same thing. So the animal sways back and forth. So therefore, inevitably, he's going to have touched or at least been mahil over the mess, and therefore he's tamei. Continues the Braisa, Bamed Varam Amurim, when is all this talking about? But Tumas Atahoim. All of this is only if it's Tumas Atahoim. Ava, but Tumah Yadua. But if it's a Tumah that's known to people, then it's tamei. And as we quoted earlier on the Omud, V'ezei Tumas Atahoim, what is the definition of Tumas Atahoim for this purpose? Kol Shalei Hikubo Echad B'Seifa Olam. If you have somebody, if nobody even at the other end of the world knows that this Tumah is there, then it's Tumas Atahoim. Aval Hikubo Echad B'Seifa Olam. But if even one person at the end of the world knows that that mess is there, Ainz at Tumas Atahoim, then it's not considered Tumas Atahoim. Continues the Braisa, more rules about what it's covered up with. Motze tomun b'tevan, if you find the body buried in straw, but offer or in dirt, or with tsronus, or in pebbles, so not necessarily did any person put the straw or whatever on top, it could have just fallen on him, so therefore not necessarily did anybody ever know that this body is there, therefore that's Tumas Atahoim, I raise a Tumas Atahoim. But on the other hand, if you find the body in water, or ba'afela, or you find it in the darkness, or you find it in a crevice, in a rock, then ainz a Tumas Atahoim, then it's not Tumas Atahoim, because then it's not really covered. Because if you look in, you will see it. Because it's in the water, it's under the water, but fine. It's not really hidden under the water. And the same thing, if it's in darkness, okay, right now it's in darkness, you don't see it. As soon as it becomes light, people are gonna see it. And the same thing if it's in a crevice in the rock, same idea. And the Braisa finishes off, like Omer, Tumas Atahoim, Elul a mess bilvad. Now we say the whole concept of Tumas Atahoim only applies to a mess, which means, as we said before in the Gemara, we discussed the whole issue that it means it doesn't include Tumas Atahoim of Sheretz. It doesn't include Tuma Satahoim of Ziva, according to the Chachamim, that is, who say that there could be such a thing as Tuma Satahoim of Ziva. According to Rabbi Yossi, we said it's not, but there's no such thing as Tuma Satahoim of Ziva anyhow. So according to him, it's a non-issue, but there could be Tuma Satahoim of Sheretz, and with the Braise is excluding that. The Rambam actually points out an interesting thing. It also means that the Braise means another detail with that also. Only if the person died naturally. But if the person was killed, then we don't say the whole concept of Tumas HaTohim, because if he was killed, somebody killed him. That means somebody knows the body is there. So it's not Tumas HaTohim, because somebody in the world knows that it's there. So therefore, that's another point. The Braisa means, by saying El Mes Bobad, means not only a mess as opposed to a sheretz or whatever, it also means, as far as a cause of death, that it has to be that he died naturally rather than that he was killed. Only then do we say it's Tumas HaTohim. Okay. Ayish koyach, everyone.